This is what the Lord says. For there's great changes taking in the earth, even as you sit in your chairs. Significant changes. Here a little, there a little. It's building, it's growing. It's spiraling down. For there's many changes that are taking place in the earth. As the darkness grows darker, and as a select few who've elected to surrender their lives to me grow in the light. For there's much darkness that is being exposed, and the enemy is on great pursuit and great aggression, going forth to destroy, deceive, and hinder. But those who are strong will stand up against him and lift up a standard in these last days, says the Lord. For my children are to be children of light. For what fellowship does light have with darkness, says the Lord? Oh, if my people would only have ears to hear. For I desire holiness, for I am a holy God. There's many who have no perception and no understanding of just how holy I am. And if they would keep their eyes steadfast upon me and recognize how holy I am, they would be transformed in my likeness through my presence, says the Lord. Here I am. I'm calling out unto you again to be separate, says the Lord. I'm calling out to those who are willing to hear the call, those who are willing to incline their ears, those who still have an ear that is willing to hear my call, says the Lord. For many have calloused their hearts. My word has gone forth into all the earth. My word has gone forth by my Spirit. And many have heard this word, but they have not held my word in high honor, says the Lord. They have acknowledged my word. They have rejoiced at my word. They have praised over my word, but by not acting upon it, by not acting upon my holy word, they have calloused their hearts. They have seared their consciences, and they have blinded their eyes so they are unable to hear. Since many have questions for me, says the Lord, let me ask you some questions. Is it my will for you to be broken and beat down and destroyed? Is it my will for you to lack in every area? Is it my will for you to have sickness, pain, and discomfort in every organ of your body? For I have revealed my will for mankind to provide. I have revealed my will to mankind to protect. I have revealed my will to mankind to heal, to deliver, to set free, and that will is revealed through my word. But the reason so many seek me for the blessings is because they practice a form of religion, but they deny its power, says the Lord. For these blessings can only be obtained if you meet the terms of the contract that I have written for humanity. For my terms are to walk in the light. You must walk in obedience to my word to experience the blessings that I've provided. Many seek the blessings. They cry out to me to be blessed. They cry out to me. But if they would only cry out to me that I could transform them so they could have a pure heart, so they would walk in the light, so they could be blessed, then my blessings would fall upon them. I've called you out of darkness into the kingdom of my dear Son. I've called you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, but you must enter in through the door. For there's many who honor the door. There's many who look at the door. There's many who act as if they've gone through the door. But I see the heart. I look and I search hearts and minds, says the Lord, and I can recognize who has entered in. For they walk with me, and they are holding on to my garment. They are holding on to my hand. There's many who hold on to the hand of the enemy as they walk with him blindly. And they call me their Lord. But have I not said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom, but only those who do my will? So be free. I have come to set those in captivity free. But you must be free. You must step out of the darkness and enter in through the door. You must pick up your cross and deny yourselves. And the moment that you sacrifice yourself for me, then the sacrifice that I have provided for you will come forth in great power and great glory and manifest in your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory be to God. If you are in Jeremiah, I want to show you something at the end of 25. I seriously encourage you to take to heart that prophecy that the Holy Spirit just spoke. The Bible says not to treat prophecies with contempt. That's God. If you want to know what a prophecy is, that's God current day speaking into the earth. He spoke that for you to hear. He spoke that for anybody who has ears to hear to hear. And if I were one who had a leader that was able to prophesy the heart of God, I would listen to those prophecies over and over, because I would know, because I'm smart enough to know that that's God talking to me as an individual. So that's what I would encourage you to do, because that's God speaking to you as an individual and also me. Jeremiah 25, the last, let's go on over to verse 32. We bind every hindrance and command it to leave the service and not return. This is a closed service. The door is closed on the enemy. The date? It's June 1st, 2016. We're in 85th. And National Street right here. This is a historic meeting. This is a historic moment in your life right now. It'll forever, it's written down in books, it says in the Bible, written down in books. Everything's written down. God's watching. He's looking down from heaven. He sees all of you sitting in your chair right now. God, the Holy Spirit, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is in this room right now. And we're listening. We have His holy word, the same word that we're going to be judged by, sitting in our laps. This is an incredible moment in time. And you need to think of every moment of your day like that, because it is. Everything's good. Everything is historic. It's being written down. If you do the bad stuff like you shouldn't do, and you confess it, He blots it out of the book. Jeremiah 25, verse 12. Let's go back to verse 30. Speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, "Now prophesy all these words against them and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high." He will thunder from His holy dwelling, the roar and roar mightily against His land. He will shout like those who tread the grapes. Shout against all who live on the earth. The tumult will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord will bring charges against the nations. He will bring judgment on all mankind and put the wicked to the sword, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Look! Disaster is spreading from nation to nation. A mighty storm is rising from the ends of the earth. At that time, those slain by the Lord will be everywhere. From one end of the earth to the other. They will not be mourned or gathered up or buried, but will be like dung lying on the ground. And some of you may not be able to relate to the dung lying on the ground, but I used to work on the farm. We'd spread the manure over the fields in the springtime to fertilize it. You could look out on that field and you'd see, you could tell that there was something covering that field. He's telling you that there's going to be so many bodies it's going to cover the earth. So much so that it takes 7 months to clean up. We know that. We know that Jeremiah went on and he prophesied against all the different nations that were on the earth. He makes it very clear. You know, he told Jeremiah, he handed him a cup filled with His wrath. And He told him, He said, look, in verse 15 of the same chapter, He says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from My hand this cup filled with the wine of My wrath and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad. Because of the sword I will send among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom He sent me drink it. Jerusalem, now listen to all these cities. Don't let your mind wander. This is important. He's trying to paint you a picture of something so you can comprehend how God thinks. Jerusalem and all the towns of Judah, its kings and officials, to make them a ruin and an object of horror and scorn and cursing as they are today. Then he goes through all these cities, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his attendants, his officials, all his people, and all the foreign people there, all the kings of Uz, all the kings of the Philistines, those of Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the people left, and Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, all the kings of Tyre and Sidon, the kings of the coastlands across the sea, Dedan, Teman, Buz, and all those who are in distant places, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the foreign people who live in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, Elam, Media, and all the kings of the north, near and far, one after the other, all the kingdoms on the face of the earth, and after them, the king of Shishak will drink it too. This is what, then he says, then tell them. So what he's actually telling Jeremiah, there's a little bit of symbolism here. He's telling him to go prophesy against all these different nations, all of them. They weren't Jews. The majority of the people he's prophesied were just Gentile nations in the face of the earth. He's prophesying, he says, look, prophesy against them of My wrath. He says, here's a cup. He's handing him a revelation. that he's going to have an impartation in his spirit. And Jeremiah the prophet goes out and says, look, judgment's coming on all you nations. Verse 27, then tell them, this is the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel, drink, get drunk and vomit, and fall to rise no more because of the sword I will send among you. But if they refuse to take the cup from your hand and drink, in other words, if they're not going to receive this, they're not going to accept what you're saying and reject it. He says, tell them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, you must drink it. See, I am beginning to bring disaster on the city that bears my name. And will you indeed go unpunished? You will not go unpunished, for I am calling down a sword upon all who live on the earth, declares the Lord Almighty. Now go on over to chapter 12, the last verse. Verse 17, chapter 12. But if any nation, everyone say nation. Chapter 25, we've seen the word nation. He prophesied to all the nations. Those were mostly Gentile nations. In fact, all of them basically were. Verse 17, but if any nation does not what? What's it say?
Listen.
I will... Chapter 12, verse 17. If any nation does not listen, I will completely uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. Any nation. Now we know that God does not change. He's no respecter of person. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that God is love, but God is also, according to Hebrews 12, a consuming fire. God is love, but God's a consuming fire. And it is love. All the judgments that are coming on the earth is an act of love. Well, how can that be? How can this God that is so loving judge the earth? Well, really, in reality, what's happening, listen very carefully, as the people have sown a field. It says in Galatians 6, 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature or the flesh, it translates, from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows the spirit, please the spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. He says, therefore, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So because the nations right now, all those people you see out there, they're sinning away. Whether it's through selfishness and they live a selfish life, self-absorbed, their idol is their cell phone. They're just living for themselves. That's a sin. It's called selfish ambition. It's one of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 lists it. Whether it's just a selfish life, living for themselves and rejecting God's plan, he says, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts are darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And then he goes, therefore God turned them over, and they go through all these sins that they get caught up in. So whether they're selfish people, just living for themselves, they're not really hurting a lot of people, or they're violent, they're Satanists. Let's talk to one of the churches down there. They said there used to be some Satanists in this building, and they used to be violent, and they would destroy their mailbox and do some things, so they had to pray them out of here. Or they're involved in pornography. The man right in that room moans and groans. Yesterday has a prostitute in the room while we're preaching service. Remember when I prophesied that? That's what he was doing probably about a year ago. Now, never had any confirmation. There's been three times there's been confirmation. We not only see him coming in and out, but Michelle's heard it twice and went up to the door to make sure that's what she was hearing. While we're preaching against sin, destroying himself and destroying another person by committing indecent acts when little children are two doors down. Whatever the sin is, God's no respecter of persons, and the people are sowing a field. You got to understand, when you're sowing, that means you're scattering seeds. You know what a seed is. We've all seen gardens. We can understand a seed. They're planting those seeds in the ground, and everybody looks around and says, they're getting away with it. Everything seems to be going good with them. But what you don't recognize is that underneath the ground, there's a root system that's growing down very, very deep. Now, God is not into destroying. It says that He does not delight in the destruction of His enemies. It also says He doesn't delight in the death of anyone, it says in the Bible. Anyone. The Bible says God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants to take that root system that they've sowed in that field. The harvest is ready. It's ripe. He wants to uproot those seeds and discard them and act as if it never happened. He wants to be, you know, one scripture says, make peace with me, says the Lord. Make peace with me. He wants them to call a truce and say, look, I acknowledge I've sowed a field. Forgive me. And He says, you've judged right. He said, I confess Jesus is my Lord. He said, you bow your knee. You're going to repent for serious? Real? You're going to do it? They said, I've done it. That's it. And they turn their back on the sin and they pick up their cross and follow Jesus. He acts as if it's never happened. He never brings it up again. Never one time the rest of the life, He'll never make mention of it again. And if you try to make mention of it after He's forgiven you, He'll look at you and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because the Bible says He washes our sin away in His sea of forgetfulness. That's what He wants to do. He is love in the fact that He provided salvation, and He's a consuming fire, which is also love in the fact that He's going to judge those who refuse to conform to His word because He has to. Well, how is that love? I can tell you how it's love. What God is in the process of doing through redemption and up to the end of the age is restoring what once was. Well, what once was, Pastor, the Garden of Eden. Just imagine, now you can relate to what everybody has an idea how perfect, a perfect state that everything was in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin, there was no sadness, there was no sickness, there was no depression, there was no confusion. It was complete peace and complete joy and complete harmony. You can imagine that, right? Peace, joyfulness, just walking with God. It says that Adam walked in the garden. It says the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam was walking with Him. Everything was perfect. So what happened is man sinned. They opened up a door. And what you see today, all the problems as a result, it says, therefore is by one man, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Well, we know that, He says the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave us the victory over sin. The result of all the rapings and the murders and the sexual perversions and the witchcraft and all that stuff, that all entered into the world through that one sin from Eve past to Adam and throughout the whole earth. And all the problems and all the confusion is all results of the curse of God's broken law. His word is law. A lot of people get mad about that today, but they just don't understand what the Bible says. James in your New Testament calls it the perfect law that gives freedom. He said, if anyone keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at one point, he's guilty of breaking all of it. God's word is law. You need to look at it as law, otherwise you're never going to want to obey God. Now we know that our obedience and our good works isn't what saved us. We understand we're saved by grace. We never deserve the salvation, no matter how good we become. But He's created us unto good works in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. He says, by grace you're saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. In other words, you didn't do anything to earn it. He says, this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And everybody loves that, but what they don't like is the next verse, verse 10, Ephesians 2:10. He says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're not saved by all the good works, but we're to do good works as a corresponding action proving that we have faith. James says, I have faith. He says, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe in one God, good. Even the devil believes, demons believe and tremble, but faith without works is dead. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This is all James chapter 2, the end of the chapter, verse 12 on to the end of verse 27. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted with the world. I acknowledge that somebody bind every hindrance in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, that people respond properly like childlike faith. Somebody's eye has been bothering them. Who is that? Anybody else's eye? If you got itchy eyes, that would be something with your eye. Father, in the name of Jesus, command the symptoms to leave her right now. Every symptom of distress and deficiency to leave her. In the name of Jesus, command her eyes to be normal right now. In Jesus, is there something with your eye? Come over here. Come here. Command every evil spirit to leave her. We command her eyes to be normal. Any allergies to be gone in Jesus' name. Come right here. Stand right here. Come here. Come here. Come right here. Look this way. Come here. Do you believe Jesus can heal your eye? What's wrong with your eye? It itches. Father, we command allergies to leave his eyes right now. We command everything to line up according to God's word in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing. We just praise and exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody's heel. Your heel is bothering you. Yeah. Your heel. And Father, we command it to be healed right now. There's two word of knowledge, an eye and a heel. If it's Father, we command her heel to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Break its hold. Wake up. We command her heel to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Command everything to line up according to God's word. I pray you'd help him to get the sleep at night he needs. Father, we command everything to line up according to God's word in the name of Jesus. You didn't think I'd do that, did you? Hallelujah, Jesus. How's your wrist? Let me see your hand. Go like this. Go like this. Has your wrist been bothering you at all, or your arm?
No.
This area? Anything been going on?
Just the shaking.
Oh. Okay. Can I pray for you? Because the Lord wants me to pray for you. Do you believe that Jesus can stop shakiness in your arms and your wrists?
Yes.
You believe he can stop that?
Yes.
If I pray for you, will you confess 50 times a day that the shakiness is gone?
Yes.
Are you doing that at all? Are you believing God for that?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we command it all to go right now. We command the spirit behind it up and out of her body. We command it to stop. Any lies spoken to her mind about Parkinson's, we uproot those lies and we renounce any thought. We command every spirit in connection with Parkinson's up and out of her body and out of her life. We will take no thought saying, I don't care who in the family or any ancestors or anybody else who said, you said, Lord. You said that she's healed, and we claim her healing right now. All of us in agreement claim that the shakiness stops immediately in Jesus' name. We praise you. You're a miracle worker. In the name of Jesus, it's done. Amen. Hallelujah. And we bind every counterattack, plan, maneuver, and assignment of the enemy and command them off to Irajai places in Jesus' name. You will not attach to me or my household or this church or anyone in it in Jesus' name. You got to pick that up. It's important. Now, Garden of Eden was a perfect eternal state. That's how God originally created it, to be perfect. If humanity, if Adam and Eve would have proved themselves faithful with the responsibility he had given them, he would have given them more. He would have promoted them. But they didn't even... He gave them the whole world and said, one tree, don't eat from the one tree. And they said they were curious about that one tree. And the devil, instead of communicating with God, and praying to God like they should have been. They started socializing and communicating with the serpent, who is the devil. And the end result is they were demoted by sin. And they had God prove to them, just like He said, there would be consequences when we disobey His word. Now what God is in the process of doing, and it's took over 6,000 years. It was a serious sin that was committed in the garden. High treason against God to become like God. Adam wanted to be just like God. That's what Satan promised him. You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. You're going to be just like God. It wasn't just the fruit they were after. It was after power, knowledge, and authority. God already gave them dominion, but the lust towards it, towards more power, drove them for more. And just like God said, consequences came to sin. 6,000 years to restore this all back with humanity working against God, but in His great love, He still pressed on through, even though at one time it got down to 8 people. In His great love, that's love. His intention was never to destroy everybody, but people kept destroying themselves by sowing that field. So what He's doing, He's in the process of doing, is restoring everything back to the perfect habitable state that He produced in the garden. A perfect state. He's restoring everything back, and at the end of the millennium, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, we'll finally get that perfect state again. During the millennium, there's still going to be a lot of people that live through the tribulation period who are going to need to be healed. Well, who's going to heal them? You are. You're going to finally fulfill that ministry that God has for you. Hopefully we can start it now. You mean we're going to be healing people in the millennium? Sure you are. You're going to be producing, you're going to be placing judgments on people who sin. You're going to be warning people against sin like I'm doing right now to you. You're going to be enforcing capital punishment on those who refuse to repent after you warn them. I believe that God's going to, just like now, He gives people space to repent. And if they refuse to repent, it says, he who dies at 100 will be considered a curse. There's going to be capital punishment on them, no matter what age. But what is going to happen, He's going to restore everything back to the perfect habitable state that was in the garden. It's going to be just like that and even better. There'll be no more devil on the loose. That's why it's going to be better at the end of the millennium. We know at the end of the millennium, Satan gets loose just for a short season, but after that, he's incarcerated forever. So the reason that God has to judge and He has to enforce the penalty for the broken law, He has to enforce the penalty for sin, is to not only let people recognize the terrible consequences of their sin, but to protect the eternal society that God is reinstating and reproducing. The perfect eternal society. He has to protect the rest of us who want to obey His law, His word. So because we in this room, I believe you want to obey God's word, we don't want to be around the sin. He said over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, He said, if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in a gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world when He brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, this is in your New Testament. It says, if He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that was where all the homosexual lusts and all the sexual perversions were, by burning them to ashes, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Ungodly. That's what's going to happen to the ungodly. So we need to be godly, right? He says, and if He rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If that is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials, the godly, and to hold the unrighteous for judgment until the day of their punishment. This is especially true of those who despise authority and follow the corrupt desires of the flesh, the sinful nature. So, that's in 2 Peter 1. So what I want you to notice, it says that Lot was a righteous man living among them day after day. He was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. He had to live around, among that and watch it and hear about it, hear news about it. And he was distressed and tormented in his righteous soul by it. Does it bother anybody what's going on out there? If you don't feel bothered, come up, stay after service. Let me pray for you. You've seared your conscience so bad. We got to deliver you. Because you're on the broad path. We got to get you off the broad path. If it does bother you, if the more it bothers you, the happy I am for you. Because that means that you're walking with Jesus because it bothers God. So because you don't want to be around the sin, we're in a body that still at times wants to disobey God. We're in a world that produces an atmosphere all around us trying to influence us to sin. We groan, it says in Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5. We groan inwardly, waiting for the adoptions of Son, the redemption of our bodies, till we get our glorified bodies. It grieves us. And the Holy Spirit, it's a form of intercession for yourself and for the earth. And the Holy Spirit adds those groanings as you pray in tongues to make proper intercession for each individual, for yourself first, and for those around you that grieve you. The world, you're going to get a glorified body. The world is going to get a facelift. It's going to get glorified with the new Jerusalem at the end of the millennium. But in the meantime, God is trying to purge and prune the wicked out. Those who are prepared are going to go up in what we call the rapture. The word's not in the Bible. It's called the catching away of the church. That's the proper words. But everybody calls it a rapture, and that's what it is because they're getting caught up. So it's okay to call it. We're going to get those who are living a holy life. He says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He says to continue in Him so you'll not shrink back before His appearing. That's what you're seeing a lot of people doing. They're shrinking back before His coming in the clouds. Now remember, Jesus does not set foot on the earth until Armageddon. A lot of people, His second coming of Christ, we call it. In reality, His second coming is at Armageddon. He does not come back to the earth. He comes to the clouds and the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, We don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers. He says that we who are alive and are left to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds and the air. Therefore, we'll be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we all be changed. Changed, glorified body. We'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. As fast as you can blink, you're going to be in heaven. I don't know if I should tell them that story. I'll tell you the story. You're going to move at an accelerated rate of speed. I'll tell you something, because I, in my youth in the Lord, I cried out to God because I heard one man got caught up to heaven. So I pounded the carpet floor for about 15 minutes and wore myself out. And by the time I was done at that prayer, I demanded that God take me to heaven. By the time I was done at that prayer, I was spent. I was completely worn out physically because I prayed that hard for about 15, 20 minutes that God would take me to heaven. And that night, when I laid in my bed, the curtains were moving and there was a wind that was blowing in and through me. It was a wind that was blowing in and through me like nothing I've ever experienced. And I've been in similar things to a wind tunnel before. And God attempted to take me in some kind of chariot-looking vehicle with an angel driving it to heaven. And I was so scared once I got suspended above the earth and that thing was moving so fast I made Him take me back to earth. Why? Because I was so full of fear. Because I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know Him good like I know Him now. That thing was moving so fast. I've been on fast four-wheelers, fast cars. I've been whipped around. I've gone at fast speeds. I've gone 150 miles an hour. But that thing was moving at a rate that I never. But the way you're going to get to heaven is going to be a whole lot faster than riding in a chariot with an angel. You're going to instantly appear there. There's a door standing open in heaven. You're going to, as fast as you can blink, you're going to be in heaven. And you're going to look and you're going to have a glorified body with no more of the curse working in it anymore. You have the body you always wanted. Complete health, vigor, energy, and strength. He says, listen, I tell you, mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. He said, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He said, the perishable must be clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? He said, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We quoted part of that earlier. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. So we're about ready to get a glorified body. That's part of this restoration. But when you get that glorified body, at the same time you get it, judgment is going to fall upon the planet Earth. And every backslider, everyone who's flirting with God, every religious person, people can go to church every week and never enter in through the door. And if they've never entered in through the door because they're playing games of God, they're going to find themselves locked down here. And it says, we know very well that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly and they will not escape. He says, but we're not in the darkness so that this day He will surprise you like a thief. We're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the night or the darkness. He says, so let us be alert and self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So because we have this perfect state that's being restored, we're going to get our body. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth on this planet. Ecclesiastes 1:4. End of Revelation there. Chapter 20 on through 22, he describes it. Ezekiel 44-47, he talks a lot about these things. What God has to do is He has to purge the wicked out to protect the eternal society. And I'll give you an equivalent so you can understand it a little bit. Okay. In our society, we live in a society, right? We're part of the kingdom of light. Mixed in is a kingdom of darkness. And we're supposed to expose that darkness. We're supposed to start to restore things back to that habitable state like it was in the garden by conforming sinners to righteousness. But in this earthly society, it says the whole world's under the control of the devil, 1 John 5:19. In this natural, worldly society, there's rules and regulations and laws. A lot of them are instituted by God. Now the wicked are getting their foot in there. It's starting to get more and more ungodly. But if people murder, if people rape, if people steal, adultery used to be considered a breaking of the law just a few years back. They changed that now because of the wickedness. If people break into people's houses, if they're violent, if they're stealing and lying and doing things that are dangerous, there's certain things that they get incarcerated for, right? Why is this? To protect the rest of us law-abiding citizens, correct? Well, in the same similar way, God's eternal society needs to be protected from the lawless. We have to protect those law-abiding citizens within the kingdom of God from those other children of darkness. We need to protect them. How do you protect them? How are you going to do it? Well, we give them an option. You can conform to God's word, become part of this family, and we'll adopt you into God's family. He'll forgive all your sins. We have to live righteously. Or you have an option because your free will that God protects, He gives you the choice. You can continue in your ways, and then judgment's going to come on you. If you come over to our society of righteousness, your sins will be forgiven. Jesus took your judgment for you. You go free. You just got to keep living for God. But if they refuse to do that and they continue in their rebellious, stubborn ways, then God has to do something about it. And there has to come a time where the door gets shut. And there's going to be a major separation because God has to finally restore everything back to the way He wants it to be. There has to come a day where it all gets divided. The sheep get separated from the goats. We call that day Daniel's 70th week. There's a separation, a major separation that takes place. During Daniel's 70th week, which is called the 7-year tribulation period, it's two periods of 1260 days. The tribulation period is described in the book of Revelation from chapter 4 all the way on through chapter 19 and 20 with Armageddon concluding that age. So the judgments, if the people won't repent now when you, through God's love and mercy, when you preach the gospel to them, if they won't just respond to that kind of love like they should, then God allows them to reap their sin, they reap the consequence of their sin, so perhaps it will cause them to call upon the name of the Lord in God's great mercy and righteousness so that they can be saved. That's what the tribulation's about. It's allowing these hard-hearted sinners, but if you didn't notice, I sent the text messages out today. It says they refuse to repent and glorify Him. They refuse to repent and glorify Him. As we went through chapter 16. They refuse to repent and glorify Him. So even though all those judgments, the waters turning into blood, because they shed the blood of the prophets and the saints, He gave them blood to drink. The sun seared them with intense heat. They refused to repent and glorify Him. So some people's hearts will be so hard. Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He said at that time, brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children rebel against their parents and put them to death. He said, a man's members will be the enemies of their own household. He's given us an opportunity to have a second chance. Why wouldn't we take that opportunity with our whole heart and pick up the cross and take that as one who's been raised from death to life? Imagine if you actually got raised from death, if you actually died and went to hell and God let you out of there, how would you respond? You'd be loving everybody, right? But that actually happened. It actually happened. It literally happened because Jesus, you died with Him. You died and went to hell with Him and were resurrected to newness of life, and He's given you a second chance, so we should respond by loving everybody. Loving them by preaching the gospel to them, loving by treating people better than we used to, treating them nice, treating people the way you want to be treated, right? Doing good deeds, helping people in need, helping those in trouble, helping orphans and widows in their distress, and so on and so forth. So He's going to destroy, this judgment's going to fall on every nation. Jeremiah 25 was really, in context, it's talking about the nations that were in Jeremiah's day, but there's also an end time inclination. It's the same pattern. God doesn't do new things. He does the same thing He's always done. You see? Now, I want you to see something in Joel. Go on over to the book of Joel. Now, if you want to see this again to give you confirmation that God didn't just place these judgments on the Jews, just go through the entire book of Amos. The main focus of the entire book of Amos is that God's no respecter of persons, and anyone who disobeys His word is going to have judgment fall on their heads. Joel chapter 3 verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Everyone say decision. For the day of the Lord is what? What does it say? Joel 3:14. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon shall be turned to darkness, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. So God's saying, look, when the day of the Lord is near, the majority of people are in the valley of decision. A lot of people are looking at the door. They're looking at God's word. They're honoring the word. They're looking at it and say, yes, that's amen, Pastor Dan. Amen, brother so-and-so. We love the word. I know that I should be fulfilling my ministry. I'm looking at it. But they're not entering into the door by doing what's necessary to fulfill their ministries. They've never entered into the door. They're still in the valley of decision when the day of the Lord is near. God already seen this event long before it happened and prophesied it through Joel and said, look at all those people down there. He foresaw that a lot of people would be looking at the door but never enter in. He calls it the valley of decision when the day of the Lord is near. So if you feel like you're in the valley of decision, you know you're supposed to be fulfilling a ministry, but you're not doing what's necessary to fulfill it, which is pray and seek God with your whole heart to figure out what the details of that ministry are. Maybe go to Bible college, whatever it is that God's called you to do. If you feel like God's calling you to do something, then you need to be about your Father's business and do it. The first step is prayer. Praying in tongues in particular, since we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Amen? The meditation of His Word. The more we meditate His Word, the more we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. The more we read His Word. If you watch secular television and read your Bible 2 hours later, you're going to have a very confused understanding of God's voice because you're tainting your spirit. You're helping yourself and destroying yourself at the same time. You're going to be a very confused vessel. At times you'll hear God clearly, at times you won't, and you also have selective hearing because of it. But if you separate yourself from the world and say, I'm done with this world, I'm picking up my cross, I'm going through the door, the television's off, I'm throwing it in the garbage. This is my new television, it's called the Bible. And you read God's Word every day, and you spend time in prayer. I don't care what you say, kids, the television's gone, because I'm not going to be left behind when destruction falls on this planet, because Pastor Dan warned us 1,000 times. I'm not going to be left behind to see the destruction. I'm going up in the rapture. The television's gone. The magazines are gone. The worldliness is gone. The Facebook is gone. It's all gone. Here I am, Jesus. I'm throwing all the movies in the garbage. I'm separating from the world today. And you do that, then you're going to start to hear God's voice clearly. And He'll whisper in your ear, okay, you finally picked up your cross and you've entered into the door. Now this is what I've assigned you to do. Will you obey me? Yes, sir. I'm done playing games. I'm not going to compromise because my children are stronger than I am. The television's gone. In fact, I'm going to smash that thing with a sledgehammer so they can cry and wail over it. I don't care. I love you, Jesus, more than I love them. And the moment you do that, you've made the choice to be separate from the world. And most people look at this and they say, the little devil on their shoulder, even while I'm preaching, convinces them that they're not going to do it. And they hear it over and over and over. And that little devil sits on your shoulder and says, you don't have to do that. You're not going to do that. Your kids, you love your kids too much to do that. We're not going to do that because it's not going to influence them to live for Jesus. So some stupid lie. Then you go home and you watch that thing again. God warns again and again and again. And all of a sudden, because you refuse to separate, the event takes place and you find yourself right down in darkness land when you could have been dancing on the streets of glory. Forget about it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Separate. Amen? And if you're so weak that you can't separate, He's given you something that will strengthen you. It's called building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Multitudes, He says this, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Most people are very religious. It's just like He told Ezekiel. He said, look, as for you, son of man, My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. He said, their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Their hearts aren't right. He said, indeed to them, you're nothing more than one who sings a love song with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. He said to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. The other one's in Ezekiel 33. So what are we going to do? We're going to pick up our cross and we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to devote ourselves to prayer. We're believing the witches are gone. We're believing the pervert is gone. We're believing I'm out of here. And we're going to believe God for our own building so we don't have to deal with the sinners anymore. We got our own ground. Amen?
Amen.
We got our own children's room. And God will provide for it.
Amen.
Maybe we can move to a better location further into Milwaukee if the Lord will lead, where there's more people. Amen? God will direct us where that's going to be, but we do know Milwaukee County is our ground. That's what He told me specifically. So whether He moves us into a house, whether He moves us into a building, we can believe God through prayer. Amen? This is your church. You need to take ownership. You need to have religious pride. It's okay to have pride if it's the right kind of pride. He said a man can have pride within himself without comparing himself to anyone else. So there is a pride that's good if it's a godly pride and it's for God's church. You should have pride in Christ enough to walk in this building and say, I'm going to my church. You need to take ownership on your church. Say, this is my church. And I'm going to play my part. I'm going to play my prospective role in my church because God has called me here. You need to believe that.
Amen.
You need to not question that or the devil will convince you to go somewhere else where they're preaching lies. You need to say, this is my church. God called me here and I'm important in this church.
Amen.
My presence is important in this church. I've got a role in this church and I'm going to plant myself here.
Amen.
Because I'm here to support the church. I'm here to support what God's doing right here in West Dallas. And I'm here for the duration. We've had people come and go and say, oh, they hear the preaching, they hear all the scriptures quoted. Pastor Dan, man, they compare me to so-and-so big name preacher, this and that. I've heard everything. Man, we are in it for the duration. We've heard it. We're in it. We're with you. We're sticking with you no matter what. 3 months later, they're gone. Why? Because I asked them to take care of the coffee table because they're so spiritually weak that the devil gets them angry at me, even though God's using them to fulfill a small role in a local body. God gets them so angry they were gone. The devil just comes and goes, blows them out of the church. Why is that? Because their home life, associations, who they associate outside of the church had more influence on them than the Holy Spirit that was in the church. We got much more to say about this. If I leave you with anything, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord,
help me.
To devote myself to prayer.
From the moment I wake up,
to the moment I close my eyes again,
help me to keep my mind stayed on you
so that you can keep me in perfect peace.
Help me to pray continually.
Help me to pray without ceasing.
Help me to pray and never give up.
Help me to ask you about every little thing.
And take directions from you as my Lord.
Lord,
if there is anything
that I know I should be doing,
but I'm not doing,
help me to take that step today.
I don't want to be in the valley of decision.
I want to be through the door.
I want to be all the way through. I want to be so close to you
that I'm far from the gates.
Help me to stay close to you.
Direct my paths.
Help me, Lord.
I acknowledge
that I need your grace.
I rely on your grace
to save me
and to empower me
to obey your word.
I surrender to you, Jesus.
I no longer direct my own steps.
But I will consult you
before I do anything.
I will consult you
before I do everything.
I will consult you
with every little detail of life
so you can direct my affairs
and lead me down
the narrow path
that leads to life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The moment you bow your knee to Jesus, you have elected into the Lord's army.
It's a war. There was no war. You had called a truce with the enemy before you were born again. But the moment we say, well, I went to church before and nothing happened. Now I come to this church, I got all these problems.
When you enter into God's perfect plan for your life, the enemy's going to do everything he can to stop you.
Because most people in this generation are willing to compromise, and you're choosing to not be one of them. You're choosing to be different.
Everybody wants to be different, but they all look the same, don't they?
I get a tattoo because I want to be different, but they got the same tattoo as the guy down the street got them.
I'll get a piercing in my nose and big old balls in my ears because I want to be different. It's going to make me my own me.
You look just like the other guy that did the same. They're not any different.
What makes you an individual is to fulfill the call of God on your life.
I just want to encourage everyone to just spend a lot of time alone and just act as if Jesus is going to show up in the middle of the night that day.
Treat each day like Jesus is coming tomorrow. I'm telling you, Michelle has had multiple dreams. He keeps giving her dreams. And you know, Pastor Robles prophesied over her. She's going to have dreams. She has a lot of dreams that are...
I sometimes think, well, God, why do you give her so many dreams?
They're biblical dreams. They're real dreams. I've had dreams. Some of them are biblical. I know when they are. Some of them are just dreams. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, much dreaming is meaningless.
It's not a dream from God. It's just meaningless.
But he had heard a dream, and she was at the gas station. I believe she was getting out of the van or something like that.
And she knew that it was just a couple minutes left before the rapture happened, and she felt convicted, and she started running around witnessing to everybody around her.
And God was trying to make a point to her to say, look, the rapture's about ready to happen. Treat it as if it's ready to happen.
So I encourage everybody to witness everyone around you.
I witnessed to a biker gang, number one stunners.
We went to get ice when we went to Kettle Moraine Park. My wife and child and I, we just wanted to sit there away from everybody and be with the Lord.
And the number one stunners were at the gas station.
And before I knew it, I was walking up to all this biker gang. They had their gang jackets on and everything. I was witnessing to all of them.
There's one of them that was, I believe, they all told me they were saved. The one woman had a strong attitude. There were women bikers and men bikers.
She had a strong attitude. I don't think she's saved like she told me. I said, where do you go to church? She said, I don't want to tell you. So she said to me.
But the other one, there was one lady there that said she listens to her Bible to and from work and she wanted prayer. I believe she was actually saved. But the gangster rap they were listening to on their motorcycles means they're not separate from the world.
They had that stuff blaring. It made them look like a gang.
So let's be separate from the world and represent Christ. It was not a good representation if she really saved.
But if she keeps listening to the Bible and her long drive to and from work, she had a long drive, like a 45-minute drive. If she keeps listening to that, God's going to get at her. Amen.
So let's meet together on Sunday. Let's spend a lot of time in prayer. I want to hear some testimonies on Sunday that more family got saved. Because you know what, Pastor Dan? I took what you said seriously and I prayed all week. And you know what? Cousin so-and-so got born again. Do you believe me? I prophesied the other day that people's family, we already had at least one testimony so far that somebody in their family got saved. I'm believing, I'm telling you right now, God told me there's more family coming in. So watch, keep your eyes open and bring the testimonies. More of your families are coming to the Lord. So be excited, because I've been sowing a field towards your families. I spend time every day for your families, friends, loved ones, and relatives. I call out their names. I pray specific things. I believe every God. I really believe it. I confess it every day. And the harvest is coming, and it's coming now because we're getting very, very close. Amen. So let's avoid sexual immoralities and perversions and things like that and stay away from people. It says, if any, you know, he said in the letter to the Thessalonians, he said, if anyone doesn't obey the instruction of these letters, he said to keep away from them. Keep away from them. He says that over and over. If people cause divisions, he says, keep away from them. Stay away from people who aren't living right, call themselves Christians. He said, keep away from them. He said, those people are not serving the Lord Christ with their own appetites.